started with the 13 rather than 12. So we're going to see how much you remembered and how you interpret it. Remember, it started with this after Christmas, what are we left with? A glorious book of mystery and meaning and a way forward in Christ together. So a reference to the Word of God, the Bible. And on the next day of Christmas, Almighty gave to me 13... You'd be no good at the kids' game with the tray, would you? 13 men at... Dreadful.
I actually missed it.
Okay, let's play it again, please, then. Let's watch it this time and try and see. You don't have to remember all of them, but the whole point is about the symbolism that's used. So you don't have to retain all of them, but try to. Good early dementia training.
On the next day of Christmas, Almighty gave to me 13 men at supper, 12 sons of Jacob, 11 friends in mourning, 10 rules for living, 9 fruits of spirit, 8 lighted candles, 7 skinny cattle, 6 days for working, 5 barley loaves, 4 books of news, 3 dark days, 2 little fish, and the same cup for you and for me.
Okay, so let's see how we can do now, whether they've got any. 13 men at supper, 12 sons of Jacob, 11 friends in mourning, 10 rules for living, 9 fruits, 8 lighted, 7 skinny, 6 days for, 5, 4 books of news, 3 dark days, 2, and the same. Okay, well done. It just shows, doesn't it, that we are very bad. We have more images than we've ever had, and yet our powers of retaining. And I reckon that that's something that we're probably all guilty of in some ways. Be interesting to do it with the children, who actually are worse even than concentrating than we are, because of digital media often. It's interesting. So, interesting. There's symbolism in all of that. What, of course, Lucy Berry is trying to suggest is all these amazing stories, all these parts of our culture, or of the leading into Jesus and following, all have things to teach us. They are things of mystery and things of meaning. The 7 men at supper is obviously Jesus with the 12 apostles. Those are the 12 sons of Jacob. The 11 friends are in mourning because Judas has left them. The 10 rules for living are about the Decalogue. And the 9 fruits of the Spirit, we know. 8 lighted candles, I was confused about that, because the menorah is usually either 6, 9 or whatever, so I didn't understand it. But I've taken it as the 7 churches in the book of Revelation with Jesus in the middle, 8 lighted candles. 7 skinny cattle speaks to us about leanness, that there is not always prosperity, there is austerity as well, or at least unfair distribution of wealth, you might say, but there you go. 7 skinny cattle, 6 days for working, remember that. 6 days for working, 1 day where we celebrate the Lord's resurrection. 5 barley loaves. When we feel we have nothing to give, it will be enough. That incredible parable about 5 barley loaves, 2 little fish. 4 books of news. We've rejoiced in the gospel over Christmas. 3 dark days, which speak of what? His death. He was buried for 3 days, and the same cup for you and me. So it ends with the picture of the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, the giving thanks. It is a cup of unity that we drink together to move forward. I thought it was quite powerful. And there are assurances and lessons that are given to us. And the assurances are to do with the fact that the Word has become flesh. Light has come into darkness. So within the talk, just let me read to you from the beginning of John's Gospel, and Neil referred to this. In the beginning, the Word already existed. This is the eternal Logos. The Word was with God, the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things, says the writer to the Hebrews, in the whole universe. Not one thing in all creation was made without him. The Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. Just hold that thought. Hold also these two thoughts, one from Psalms, Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Isaiah 9, verse 2, that we've repeated throughout the whole of Christmas, and especially as we've lit each of the Advent candles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them. For me, I hold that picture of that shopping mall. The people who walked in darkness. Tons of artificial light. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. They lived in a land of shadows, but now light is shining on them, the shadow lands. Today, just to ponder, just for a short while, the Word brought light to humanity. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. This is so appropriate to follow on from Gwassen's prayers for the world, which was so profound to me to really think and ponder. As we move through life, we need light to live by, light to walk by. And I mean spiritual light, I mean moral light, I mean values, I mean light to live by and base our lives upon. And the world is in great confusion. As far as light to live by, the world is in darkness and certainly shadow lands. As we move through life, we need light to live by, light to walk by. And we are transitioning, as Gwassen has said to us in the prayers for the world, from 2018 into 2019. We're continuing through to after Pentecost, our celebration of 150 years of a church meeting on this site. And we need to be aware of the darkness that surrounds us, the spiritual darkness, the moral darkness, and the lack of light. And it is for all of us, including us who follow Jesus, there is the darkness of an unknown future, which can so easily unsettle us and make us afraid. In fact, the future for everyone is an unknown. It doesn't matter how you've planned, what resources you have in the bank or in the storehouse, what resources you have educationally. It really does not matter. And even in terms of relationships, which are so important to us, they can change overnight with a medical diagnosis or an accident or an injury. Actually, we all face darkness. That is why it's so astounding when we talk about the light, because of the darkness. That is why the message of light coming into the darkness is profound. If everything were light, it just wouldn't be as significant. Now, when we talk about following Jesus, we might like to think and to stress that we are leaving the darkness behind us so that we sing songs which are absolutely true. I was once in darkness, now my eyes can see. I was lost, Jesus sought and found me. Oh, what peace he offers, oh, what joy he gives. I will sing forevermore he lives. That is absolutely true. We are leaving the darkness behind us and we are seeking to go Jesus's way and walk towards him. But it is also true that we are walking into the darkness, all right? We are not just walking away from the darkness, we are walking into the darkness. It is an unknown future that we walk with God. So please be deep, reflective, people of God. We come out of the darkness, we walk away from it, we're walking towards Jesus, but we are most assuredly walking into the darkness. Just as people in the world are in darkness, we are walking into the darkness. The difference is we have the light of Christ within us, and we have the light of God's word written, but we also have the word become flesh. And some people recognize Jesus, and some people did not recognize him for what he was, and it will be ever thus. Although we pray an increasing number of people will recognize that. So hold that thought. We are coming out of the darkness. We are walking towards Jesus, but we most assuredly are walking into darkness. It is an unknown future. If you know your future, even as far as tonight, You don't, but we know who does. Abraham and Sarah knew they were walking into darkness, and like Abraham and Sarah, we press into a land that we don't yet know. That is the nature of faith. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We're looking for that lighted city. And then later on we read in Matthew about the fact that you are that city. But we're looking for that city, it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10. Those people, Abraham and Sarah and the people of God, were tabernacling people. They lived in tents, but they were looking for permanence. They were looking for security. They were looking for fear not to be there. They were looking for a place of great safety. And as we go on in life, you know, we get glimpses of that city, that lighted city. You remember? That's what we're going for in Revelation, isn't it? The city, the heavenly city that will descend, the new heaven and the new earth with Christ at the center. We get glimpses of that city, of the light. And we can even begin to experience the light on the outskirts of the city. It's a wonderful thing when you come out of the darkness of the countryside and you begin to get to the edges of the city and habitation. And I can remember in Kampala coming through the darkness and beginning to see just the edges of the city, people with their market stalls and their little lamps lit and sitting under bits of tarpaulin and shelter. But there was the light of habitation in the city, and as you went deeper into the city, there was more light, more safety in some ways. Mary and Joseph with Jesus fled Bethlehem, going into the darkness of an unknown future. They had to flee with their child, the same as people have fled from Syria. They fled to an unknown future. They aimed for Egypt. That part of the world is no stranger to migration and oppression. And we read in Matthew chapter 2, after the Magi left, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you to leave. And that is guidance. You stay in a place until God tells you to leave. That is what you're to do. And the light, the word of God, guided Mary and Joseph on that journey until the time came for them to then go to Nazareth. Today, that is just what we're thinking about, that we are moving into darkness, but with the light of the word of God. Both the word written and the word in flesh, the word incarnate. Let me surprise you by underlining the word of God, God's communication to us, can tell us to move into darkness. We wouldn't dare do it, would we, unless God said it to us. The word of God can call us to move into darkness, but we have the light of the word to walk by. We pray, Jesus, light the way. Isn't that what we sing? Jesus, light the way. The word has become flesh. That is what we rejoice in this Christmas, that the word has become flesh. The eternal logos that created the universe became a human being. It is, as we walk into the darkness, the actual walking into the darkness, in this, we can experience the light. We ask for experiences of the light, don't we? The most powerful experience of the light is knowing the light in the darkness. The most powerful experience of the light is knowing God in the darkest moments of our experience and life, our family's darkest experience, our health's darkest experience. It is in the darkness that we really experience the power of the light. Jesus is our light. Because the word has become flesh, we are guided by a person as revealed in Scripture. The fiery, cloudy pillar, they were just symbolic of the work of the word and of the Holy Spirit leading. But we have Jesus revealing the way as we walk into the darkness of the unknown. the immediate future. We may be nervous about it. We try and plan so that there is nothing there to fear, but yet we know the fear of the unknown is fear indeed, but we walk into the darkness. Psalm 119, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will walk by that light. We can look back at history, can't we? We've looked back recently because of anniversaries of the ending of world wars at a time when we have terrible war. We look back into history and we see that with the birth of Christ, the light has entered into the world. But we see that the darkness has constantly sought to overcome that. And this age is not an enlightened era. This age is a dark phase for the United Kingdom, certainly. The light that was promised has come into the world. There have been many dark times and many very, very dark times in history. Terrible times, as we remember, particularly not just European wars, but wars that involved people from all nations of the world. Many dark times, and we are right to fear and to fall before God and to ask for God's help. That light has never been extinguished. The light of truth, the light of grace, the light that is greater than the law of Moses, the light of God's love. There were three dark days, remember that, but the darkness of death did not extinguish the light of God's glory. Every time we celebrate communion, we remember not just the death, but the resurrection and the return of Jesus Christ. There is a cup that we drink together that unites us, all people who follow Jesus Christ. It says in verse 18 of John chapter 1, no one has ever seen God. No one has ever seen God. The only Son, who is the same as God and is at the Father's side, he has made him known. We walk in light, and we should choose to keep on walking in light. God is light, there is no darkness at all in him. But we also must live in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. If we do not, then we are not in the light. We are walking in the shadows and in the darkness. Perhaps, like me, you feel that the darkness is closing in. Then we need to draw closer to God, to remember that God is with us. As we live in the light, we're told we must live in fellowship with one another. We must drink that common cup. We must stay together through Jesus Christ. We are to be like a city on the hill, we've been singing from Matthew 5. So that others can be welcomed into that city, the light of Jesus Christ, that by God's grace, not by our own works, we know. And we want to call others into the light. Our theme for the year has been becoming human, giving glory. And that is epitomized, that is incarnated in Jesus Christ, who became a human being, who gave glory to God by his obedience in everything he did. But it is also our call to become fully human, to become more like Jesus, to give greater glory to God in simplicity, in our ordinary, daily, saintly lives of living, following God, not being overwhelmed. The darkness of consumerism will try to extinguish the light. That doesn't mean that purchasing is evil in and of itself. But consumerism is a great darkness that can overwhelm the light and change people's value system. We need to be terribly careful as good capitalists in a system which can overwhelm us. We cannot serve God and money. For our children and our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our godchildren, we are praying that they may have the light of Christ. They may have light to live by. Nothing else will serve them as well. Nothing. Forsaking all else, we follow him. And those family that we saw this Christmas, that we love dearly, that love us, that we've had fun with, if they know not Jesus, then they are perishing for want of a saviour. We want the best for those we love. Jesus came that we might have life, life in all its fullness. We walk into a great darkness, but we have the light of life, the light of the Word of God with us. Let's just be still, shall we? Let's be grateful in our hearts. Let's just take a silent moment to thank God.